Blog Talk Radio.
Holy place, oh Lord, that's where I want to go. Holy place,
immortality. In a heavenly places with white Jesus, I want to be with you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to go to that secret place, higher and higher. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, this is an interesting program today. We're going to be talking about this judgment, also known as the judgment seat of Christ. Glory be to the Lord. And we're going to talk about certain things. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. The question is, what is a Bema Seat? We're going to look into that. What type of judgment? We're going to look into that. Is this for believers or non-believers? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just share a disclaimer and a little bit itinerary, then we'll get into our teaching. Glory be to the Lord. The disclaimer is that the songs that we play on the program do not belong to Pastor Ramos, do not belong to the church, WTL Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. But because we bought the DVDs, the CDs in it, we have permission to use the song. Thank you, Lord, for that open door. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we thank you. We glorify you, Lord. A little bit itinerary. I said every the Bible mystery at 7 p.m. We invite you to, we encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call a 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. We're going to be this Sunday coming. We're going to be talking about feasts. And the mystery is, which feast is also known as the Bread of Affliction? Now, you know, the Jewish people had 7 feasts. This feast is also known as the Bread of Affliction. We're going to go into that. And if you have the right answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, the tabernacle was a temporary meeting place between the Jewish people and God, and it was also called the Tent of Meetings. So what happened was that when the cloud was moving, the tent would come down and they would follow the cloud stood still. They will rebuild the tent of meetings. Glory be to the Lord, and do the sacrifices there. And because they didn't believe the 2 spies that came back from scouting the land, God gave them over to 1 year for every day they didn't believe. So they stood 40 years in the wilderness going around, and that generation that came out of Egypt did not make it into the promised land. The ones that made it in was Joshua and the new generation that went into the promised land. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So you will receive this pamphlet, and I would encourage you to put it with your Bible wherever you go to the meetings or appointments and waiting to be called upon. You could take this out of your Bible and study the tabernacle, and you could get to know the tabernacle itself, what the Jewish people used. In these days, don't forget what Paul said. He said, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, when you get born again, when you repent of your sins, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you praying and the Holy Spirit baptizes you, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and he gives you the power to be a witness for Christ wherever you go. Some people claim that you could have a demon and a Holy Spirit at the same time. I'm sorry, but I don't believe that. When you are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, you are cleansed. And the Holy Spirit, according to the scripture, it says he would not indwell in an unclean vessel. So if you have demons inside of you, then you're not saved. You're not born again. You need to be safe. You need those sins that are holding you. Then the Holy Spirit will be able to come in and you could be a witness for Christ and you will be clean. Glory be to the Lord. Those are the things, you know, that I disagree with some of the people that do deliverance. I believe in deliverance. Christ delivers us. He brought deliverance to us. Remember, he delivered the demon-possessed man in the garden. Some people believe the saints, the Jewish people, were saved because they kept the law. But, you know, the Bible says, By the law, no man will be justified. You could only be justified through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So that's another thing that I disagree with some people. The oneness people, the Jewish people, because they believe and they follow the law that they were saved. Nope. Not according to what the New Testament says. So, we have to do a lot more studies. I don't argue with people, and, you know, they believe, they want to believe that way. I just pray for them and ask God to give us logos word, which we all carry, we have, but the rhema word, the revelations of those words, glory be to the Lord. If you remember in the book of Revelations, John times says, I was in the spirit. This was a vision that I saw. So the Holy Spirit would give you things and reveal things to you and give you the rhema word so you could see the things of God. Glory be to the Lord. So we're going to be talking about on Sunday at 7 o'clock, which is the Bible mystery. We're going to talk about this feast. It's called the Bread of Affliction. And so we're going to be talking about that. And whoever gets the answer correctly, what is the affliction, the bread of affliction, you will get a beautiful colorful pamphlet. Hallelujah. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have our intercessory prayer. Again, we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. for prayer, intercessory prayer. One of the first things that we pray for, according to Psalms 122:6, we are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We know that they're at war right now with Hamas, and we know that God is going to intervene. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then on Thursdays, like tonight, we have a study. Our Bible study is called What is Next? What's Next? So today we're going to be talking about the Bema Seat, and that is something you're going to learn about. We're going to try to finish the whole thing tonight. If not, we'll do part two next Thursday. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer before we go on with our study. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that you speak in and through us, O Lord God. Let this be to glorify you, not to glorify man. Lord, teach us about the Bema Seat. Teach us what we need to know, Father God, and how to prepare ourselves for that glorious day. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord, if there's anything in our hearts that don't belong there, we repent of our sins. We ask you to cleanse us with the precious blood of the Lamb and help us to go forward to be a witness unto you, O Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus. Guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. and sisters from the church, and you know our Christian brother and sisters, the situations that they are going through, Lord. We understand that these trials is for testimony, it's testing our faith. So let us be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, Lord Father God. Let us put on the whole armor and let us walk victorious. Let us walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Glory be to the Lord. Let's praise you, Father. Let's honor you. Let's glorify you in everything that we do, Father God. Let people see and glorify you, Father God. Lord, tomorrow is Friday feast. It's the first Friday of the month, and to witness and evangelize and God, that you go before us and prepare the territory with your angels, oh Father God, and we ask that you will give us your anointing that destroys the yoke. Father God, let us speak to people and pray with people, and Father, you call, let them be safe tomorrow, Father God. And Father God, we give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who will be attending tomorrow. We ask that you make a way out of no way and give them traveling mercies, Father God. Lord, thank you for Sister Patty and Brother Ed, and for all my brothers and sisters, Brother Gene, Sister Linda, Father. And we ask you to help us as we go forward, and Sister Jeannie, Father God, as we go forward to witness unto others. In the name of Jesus, Father God, let it be prosperous for your glory, Father God. Thank you. Lord, to prepare the area. The psalmist says that you prepare a table before our enemies, Father God. So we thank you, we glorify you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Brothers and sisters, today we're going to be studying the believer's judgment bema seat, or in other words, the judgment seat of Christ. Bring you to where we're going to be when this occurs. We don't know exactly when it's going to occur. We don't have no dates, but we do know that when we are saved, we're born again, and we know that one day Christ is going to descend the clouds, and the dead in Christ will rise first and be changed, and we that remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to. We're going to be changed. We're going to receive a glorified body, and that's in the clouds. That's not the second coming. The second coming, it comes to Mount Olives. This is the rapture. Now, we don't find the word rapture in the Bible. If you read the Latin Vulgate, then you're going to read rapilmo, which is rapture. But the Greek, when the word was translated into Greek, the writer used the word. And when you look at harpazo, it means caught up or raptured up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we see Christ the way he is. We're going to be just like him. And he's going to be ourselves. That in the Gospel of John chapter 14, he's going to take us where he is. Sometimes he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us every day. Glory be to the Lord. But sometime in heaven, we are going to the Bema seat. And that we're going to learn a little bit about that Bema seat, because not everybody is going to go to the Bema seat. Some people are going to the Bema seat, which is the born-again Christian, and some people are going to the great white throne judgment. That one, you really don't want to be partaker of that. So I would encourage you to ask Christ to come into your heart. Repent of your sins. Ask Christ to come into your heart and save you so you could go to the Bema seat. Yes, we're going to be judged there for what we have done. But guess what? That's going to take place in heaven. And that's going to take place. And we're going to receive our rewards. But those rewards are going to be given back unto Christ, because he's the one that deserves all the crowns, all the gifts, everything. because of what he has done. And we want to thank the Lord. Once again, we encourage you to call Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected. If you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, you could call in and we would deal with that. If we have to put the program on hold, we would do that. And we deal with the questions, comments, or testimonies. Glory be to the Lord. You could also send us a message via the chat. Remember, is www.blogtalkradio.com/CarlosRamos53, and you log on and you can come to the chat room and put your question there and we would answer it and we would convey what the Holy Spirit had given to us. If you want to call, the program is over 8 o'clock. You could call 772-626-3178. And that's the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle Church. And I would answer and be able to pray with you and clarify things of our teaching. Glory be to the Lord. In the meantime, you could call Blog Talk Radio here at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. And we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to the Lord. Don't forget, Sunday at 7 p.m., we have our Bible mystery. What feast is also known as the Bread of Affliction. That's at 7 o'clock on Sunday. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, we are dealing with the Bema Seat. And let us see what we learn from it. And we're going to do our best to finish today. If not, we will just do part 2 next week. So let's look at the judgment seat of Christ. Scriptures teaches that every member of the human race is accountable to God. You could look at that, Jeremiah 17:10 and 32:19. God will judge both the unbeliever and the believer. The judgment of the unbeliever will take place at the great white throne judgment, described in Revelation 20:15. This judgment takes place after the millennial reign and is the final to eternal future. Paul affirms the judgment of every believer in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Glory be to the Lord. So that's for believers, and unbelievers will go to the grave white throne judgment. And when you study Revelations 19 or 20, you're going to understand, it says the books will be opened. And whoever's name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire with the Antichrist, the false prophet, hallelujah, and all those who have taken the mark of the beast. Glory be to the Lord. So we encourage you to ask God for forgiveness, repent of your sins, ask Christ to come into your heart and save you, and direct you to a church where you're going to grow spiritually. And ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word. And don't forget, study his word every day. Don't let the enemy bring out an excuse. Because by the word, you're going to learn the truth. And the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Then it goes on to say that all are judged will justify the justice of God, that any will be saved will be the demonstration of God's grace the world could ever know. The judgment of the wicked will confirm their rejection of God's provision of salvation, his son, and will result in eternal condemnation. If you study Revelation, there's no commendation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But there is condemnation for those that go to the grave, white throne judgment. Glory. The judgment of the righteous will confirm their security in Christ and will determine their eternal rewards. The judgment of the wicked will result in suffering that is proportional to their wickedness. Matthew 10:15-11, 23-24, Luke 19:27. The judgment of the righteous will result in rewards in proportion to their faithfulness. Luke 19:11-27. Unbelievers will stand before the great white throne, and believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So there is a separation, my brothers and sisters. There's no way that an unbeliever who lives in sin, who the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus, could ever appear in the Bema Seat judgment unless that person repents of their sins and asks Christ to come into their heart before that event takes place. No second chances once you leave this body. When you leave this body, if you leave it before Christ coming, the word of God tells us, Paul says, absent from this body is present with the Lord. So those of us who go before the judgment, before the resurrection, will be in the presence of God in paradise. Those who don't believe in the Lord and they're unbelievers, they'll be in hell. Glory be to the Lord, because they broke God's commandment. God doesn't send no one to hell. He just accommodates the person's wishes. God's patience and long-suffering is for us to repent and to come to the knowledge of the truth, so we could be saved, so we could go to heaven, so we could... Glory be to the Lord. But you know what? The enemy has hardened the hearts of a lot of people, has blinded them. And many people, they only look at the physical, not knowing anything about the spiritual aspect. The Word of God tells us that it does from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of light. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what we all need to have experience. Otherwise, you're going to go before the great white throne, and there's no excuse as to why you rejected Jesus Christ. You're going to be judged. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. There's no returning back. You know, there's about 4,200 different religions in the world, but there's only one empty tomb. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we know the Bible says that God was going to make Jerusalem a city, a trembling city for those who don't believe. Hallelujah. So let's look, what is a Bema Seat? So let's look at the background of the Bema Seat. It's a seat of judgment at the Bema. 2 Corinthians 5:10. The Bema was a step or a platform used in athletic arenas. Early Bemas were raised platforms on which rulers or judges sat when making speeches, Acts 12:21, or adjudicating cases, Acts 18:12-17. In the Isthmian Games, the forerunner to the Olympic Games, the umpire preceded from a raised platform called the Bema or judgment seat. From there, he watched the games and awarded the winners. The New Testament uses a variety of judicial and athletic metaphors for the judgment seat. Let's look at a little bit of what the judge is about. God has committed all judgment to the Son, John 5:27. This is what makes all of his judgments just. Revelation 4:5 demonstrates Jesus' authority to judge. He is both the Lion from the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of God who died and rose again. He who was judged has the right to judge all humanity because he is both the sovereign and the Savior. It says that Jesus is the judge, and therefore all judgments will be fair and final. 2 Timothy 4:8. Like the Father, Jesus would also judge without respect of persons. 1 Peter 1:17. The attributes of Jesus Christ as the Son of God guarantee that all the evidence will be gathered and carefully examined. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's a little bit of the judge. You know, again, we would encourage you to call to Blog Talk Radio here on the we're studying the Bema Seat, the way that Truth and Life Tabernacle is your host. You could call 516-418-5944. Press number one to be in studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you have a testimony, question, or comment, you're welcome to call. Glory be to the Lord. If you want to email church, it's www.wt@gmail.com. If you want to call the church after the program is over at 8 o'clock, you can call 631-78. Glory be with your comments, questions, or testimonies. And myself, I will pick up and we will discuss the class that we've been talking about, the Bema Seat, or anything, any subject that you might have in your mind. Glory be to the Lord. If you want us to pray with you to have your sins forgiven and accepting Christ, you could also call us. We will help. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Who will be judged at the Bema? Now, that's our question. Is this for believers or non-believers? So we're going to be looking into who will be judged at the Bema Seat. The judgment seat of Christ determines whether we are believers. That is, whether we will enter heaven. Whoever appears before the judgment seat of Christ is already in heaven. Any person who has trusted in Jesus Christ for his salvation will never be condemned for his sins, Romans 8:1. Justification by faith results in peace with God through Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Redemption forever accomplishes forgiveness and assures reconciliation with a holy God. The punishment that everyone deserved was already borne by Jesus when he shed his blood on the cross. He was made to be sin with our sin so we could be made righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Therefore, sin and its relationship to eternal punishment will not be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. The testament reveals who will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. First, only believers will be judged. Every passage indirectly alludes to the Bema assumes that those who will be judged will be believers. Second, every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says we must all appear. 5:10. Finally, this judgment is not optional. Every believer must appear for judgment, unavoidable. So believers are wise to be ready for such an evaluation. And that's why we stand, God, we pray every day, and every day we want God to cleanse us because God is looking for pure heart and clean hands. Hallelujah. And you could only do that through the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let us go on. When and where will the judgment take place? Scripture seems to indicate that the judgment of believers will take place in heaven between the resurrection and the rapture of the church and the person's return of Christ from heaven at the second advent. the elders in heaven who may be representatives of the church age, Revelation 4:4-10, already have their crowns in place. In addition, the church as the bride of Christ is already clothed when she accompanies the Lord as his second coming to the earth, Revelation 19:7-9. The return to the earth is for the wedding banquet. Eventually, when Christ returns in judgment, the marriage and the rewarding of the church will have already taken place. The rewarding of believers and weddings between Christ's bride are heavenly events before the throne. Jesus describes the marriage feast with all the on earth, Matthew 25:1-13. Believers are not judged immediately at 1 Corinthians 5. Seems to teach that before believers can be judged, Jesus must come back for his church. Therefore, after the Lord returns for the before he comes back to the earth to rule and reign, every saint of the church will stand before the beam of Christ for the judgment and rewards. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to be going before Christ. You cannot escape that. You could go before Christ as a believer to the judgment seat and receive your rewards. Before Christ, he's going to be the judge in the great white throne judgment. And there you're going to receive your punishment reward. He will give you what you ask for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The next question is, what type of judgment? Well, what will be judged? Let's study that and let's see what type of judgment or what will be judged. It says the purpose of this judgment of believers at the judgment seat of Christ is to determine the worthiness or worthiness of their works. The judgment applies only to believers, for even if they suffer loss, they will be saved. Also, all who are judged have built their lives on the true foundation itself. 1 Corinthians 3:11-12. Christ will evaluate the works Christians do in their lifetime. Because we have been saved unto good works that God has prepared for the believers, Ephesians 2:10, we should expect him to examine our faithfulness in service. The New Testament affirms that the judgment seat of Christ will evaluate various elements of the believer's life and work. All of our sins was judged at the cross. Those sins God will remember no more, Hebrews 10:17. The second coming will not be in reference to the Hebrews 9:28. Therefore, the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to determine salvation. It is a judgment of the saved with reference to their works. The evaluation of the believer's works will include the works themselves, the quality with which they have been done, and the motivation of the heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So just a simplification is, you know, what are you doing after you're safe? Well, the Word of God tells us in the book of Mark and the book of Matthew that we should go out to make disciples or preach this gospel, because the Word says that when this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, then the end will come. So our work in the Lord is to win souls for the Christ, is to tell others of Jesus Christ. And so they could also receive Christ as the Lord and Savior. They too could also escape the wrath to come. They too could go to the Bema Seat judgment and be in heaven with the Lord forever and ever. Don't forget that when you step out of your body, you are stepping into eternity. Body is only given maybe 70 years to live, 10 years, God's grace, maybe up to 120. You know, and then we have to lay this body down, and then we go before Christ, and we have to be evaluated for what we have done. So when you are saved, brothers and sisters, the works that God wants us to do is to witness for him. Because when you read first Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says to the disciples, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be a witness unto me, both to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world." So, you know, we people, not only with our words and but with our life as well. The Word of God, Paul says it, we are read every day. People look at us and they could tell whether we're real or whether we're phonies. So we need to do the good work to win the Lord over to Christ. We don't want them to perish, so we want them to repent and we want them to be saved. Hallelujah. Let's talk a little bit about those works that we're speaking about. What one does for God really does count. Malachi 3:16 speaks of a book of remembrance in which God keeps track of all that has been done for him. Specific rewards for different works, suffering insults, persecution, and false testimony for the sake of Christ and the cause of righteousness will be in heaven. Matthew 5:11-12 and Luke 6:21-22. In Luke 14:12-14 records Jesus' instructions to reach out to the underprivileged. He includes this promise, "You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Although certain works are singled out in various passages, the implication is that God will reward believers for all their works that have eternal value or merit. So it's very important that we tell others, because it's not about us. It's about sharing the gospel. And like Paul says, some water, God is the one who gives the increase. So we do the work that God call us to do, and the Holy Spirit will do the work to save. The Bible says without the Holy Spirit drawing, no one could be saved. So, you know, we have become the hands and the feet, the voices of Christ here on earth, and we share the gospel with others who don't know the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will bring them to salvation. Hallelujah. Because we're doing what God tells us to do, and we do it by faith. We don't do it under obligation. We don't do it grudgingly. We do it because we love God. The Bible says we love God. He first loved us. Hallelujah. He first loved, and God is love. And he's inside of us. So, you know, the best we could do is to love our neighbor as ourselves. To love God with our heart, soul, and strength. To love our neighbors ourselves. Now, at this time, before we go on, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know that I'm also prompted to pray with you for salvation. For some people are listening, not saved yet. We ask the Holy Spirit to reach them and touch them. Hallelujah. We understand by the news that a lot of the Palestinian, a lot of Muslim people over there in the Middle East have converted to Christianity because they have been spoken to by Christ in their dreams. So when they wake up, they make that commitment to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we pray for people to be safe. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you by your Holy Spirit to draw those people that are going to be saved, Father God, by your word. It is your word who doesn't change, Lord Jesus. You don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we know that you would do a miracle. You would do a divine intervention for others to be saved, Father God. So we don't know who they are, but you know who they are. And we ask that you, Father God, at this very moment, someone might feel lonely. It seems like nobody cares for them, but you care for them. And somebody might be sick or injured, and you're right there to bring comfort and healing unto them. Lord, Father God, we thank you that you don't touch our will, allow us to function free. And Lord, we freely love you. We love you. We love you, Lord God. And we ask for you to reach out, Lord God, and have them be saved. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. If you have thought about it and you have prayed and you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and this is the first time, why don't you call us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio, and we will continue our prayer with you and give you the word so you could carry on and do the work that the Lord has called you to do. Don't forget, he wants us to do good works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk about the works, the quality of the work. Christ will test the genuineness or character of believers' work. Paul wrote, the fire of God's judgment will test of each man's work. 1 Corinthians 3:13. The imagery of gold, silver, and precious stones, as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble, reveals that the quality of the work themselves will be tested. What distinguishes are from the other is its eternal works that have no eternal significance do not merit eternal recognition. In Paul's illustration, an adequate foundation, the quality of materials and the proper methods of buildings are the symbolic components for quality work for God. Works will be judged to be either good or bad. In Greek, agathos or phalios, at the judgment seat. God's work, agathos, may be defined as those that have been manifested as having been wrought in God, John 3:21. This may also be categorized as work of faith, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. As defined by God, good works are designated by gold, silver, and precious stone. They are produced by a believer who is walking in fellowship with God and who controlled by the Holy Spirit. God's work are also called the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1:11. The power to produce good works comes directly from God, not from within man. Philippians 2:13. Let's look at the bad works. Bad deeds, phalios, are worthless in the sight of God. This could be called dead works or works of the flesh. Those in works of the flesh is that the believer's labor is in vain. 1 Timothy 6:20 and 2 Timothy 2:16 and Galatians 4 and 9, Titus 3 and 9, and 6. Bad works do not measure up to the standard and therefore are characterized as wood, hay, and stubble. Commodities produced commodities of little worth or these are deeds producing the energy of the flesh apart from the power of the spirit. Bad works also spring from wrong motives. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read this last part. Motives of our deeds. What type of deeds look for our motives. The motivation for our works will also be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus said, there is nothing covered up that will not and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner room shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Luke 12:2-3. Purposes give birth to behavior. The purposes or motivation of the heart validates or invalidates the actions of one's life. An example from the Sermon on the Mount will illustrate the principle of motivation. Jesus said what appeared to be two contradictory statements. On the one hand, he exhorted believers to shine as light in order to be seen by others who, in turn, will glorify the Father in heaven, Matthew 5:16. On the other hand, Jesus taught that activities such as prayer, offerings for the poor, and fasting should be done in secret to be seen by God alone and not before others, lest one lose his reward in heaven, Matthew 6:1-21. Believers do not lose eternal rewards when other people see their good deeds, but they lose when they do their works so that others might see them. 1 Corinthians 4:5 say that the hidden counsels of the heart will be exposed. What Jesus thinks about our works is more important than what anyone else thinks. Revelation 2:23 reminds us that God searches both minds and hearts in order to determine our reward. Glory be to the Lord. We're going to continue part two next week, and we're going to continue to look at the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, because it's very important, brothers and sisters. You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to suffer loss because you say, this is not real. This guy's just talking from the top of his head. I would encourage you, my brothers and sisters, that you look to be the seat of Christ. Study what the scriptures are saying. And most of all, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the scriptures to you so you would know that what's next. We know we have an imminent expectation that Christ is going to come for his church in a minute. When he does that, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the clouds, and he's going to take us to his Father's house, and we're going to celebrate the Bema Seat of the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, and we're going to receive rewards or we're going to lose rewards. But whatever it's going to happen, we're going to lay everything down at Jesus' feet. He saved us. And when we confess our sins, the Word of God says in 1 John 1:8, if we confess our sins unto him, he is just and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So, Jesus Christ loves us and we love God. We love him with all our heart. He is number one in our life. No one else takes the place of God. We came out of idolatry, in that at one time, we used to love other things. The Word of God says, Paul says that at one time we was enemies of God through wicked works. We was not subject to the law of God, and neither could we have accepted it, because God wants us to be holy and righteous the way he is. But we wanted to do our own thing. But there came a day one day when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, reached out to us and saved us and translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son. And, you know, then we're going to go to the Bema Seat. So we thank the Lord for that today. You know, the Word of God took us, to different passages of the Bible, and we have to read that and study and ask God to give us revelations of the Word of God. We got about 3 minutes. Call is still at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. If you want to send an email to the church, is wtltabernacle@gmail.com. If you want to call the program, or you want to call me after the service at 8 o'clock, 772-626-3178. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we share this word with others. You know, I share it with you because it's not for me to keep. And it's not for you to keep. Share it with others so they too could come to understanding of the Lord. What's next? Well, one of the things that's next is the Bema Seat judgment. And we don't know when is it going to take place. Or we know it's going to take place in heaven, but we don't know when. When is the rapture? Well, only God knows. Jesus said no one knows but the Father. Hallelujah. With that, I would encourage you to look at the movies called Before the Wrath and understand. That'll help you to understand what the rapture is all about. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll be back on Sunday night at 7 p.m. where we're going to have the Bible mystery. Don't forget, which feast is also known as the Bread of Affliction. And if you get the answer correctly, you'll win a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. And then on Tuesday, we'll be back at 7 p.m. for intercessory prayer. And then we'll be back next Thursday at 7 p.m. for part two, or the conclusion of the Bema Seat judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.